From the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll be beginning this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. And we're going to read through chapter 13, verse 8. We're called to a life-changing love. Continuing our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. We began. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious word? Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Cody Simpson, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Life-changing love. This is perhaps the most important message I'll preach this year if you are a child of God. This is a message that should be life-changing. And I don't say it's the most important message because I've prepared such a great message. It's not me, okay? It's the information or the content within what Paul has written here that should be most important and change our lives. You see, he's talking, of course, about the gift of love. And love is a spiritual gift. You understand that? You know, when we think of spiritual gifts, we often people think of the speaking in tongues and the prophecies and all that that the Bible talks about. But love is a spiritual gift. It is a gift that will change how you look at others. It will change how others look at you. The gift of love will change your life. Have you ever known bitter people? You ever looked at people and say, "Oh, I don't want to be that way"? Have you ever known those that just seemed like they could love no matter what was happening? That if you were in their presence, just a conversation with them, you felt loved. Love will change your life. And we start with the best of the best. That was Paul's challenge here in the text that we read. He said, earnestly desire, or set your heart upon, okay? I want you to begin to understand in the beginning that it matters what you desire. And I ask you the question, what do you want of God? If what you want of God is just a good life, a good home, a good way to make a living, financial soundness, if that's what you want from God, you're missing the good stuff. Paul is saying, desire the very best. He's saying, don't settle for less. Desire, earnestly desire, set your heart upon the very best gift that God has to offer. And Paul, just prior to verse 31 in chapter 12 that we read, has went through a laundry list of spiritual gifts. He said that God had set in the church apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and healings and helps and administrations and tongues. And he just went through this long list of spiritual gifts. And then at the end of the chapter, as he closes it, as he closes the chapter, he says, but listen, don't settle. That's all pretty good stuff, but don't settle. Instead, earnestly desire the very best gifts. And there are three very best gifts. Any ideas what they are? Faith, hope, and love. I like the way that Paul ended this chapter. He ended this chapter by saying, you know, after he went through that long laundry list and told them, earnestly desire the very best gifts. And he said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Literally, if you translate that from the Greek literally, he says, I'm going to show you a superior road or a superior path to take, a superior direction for your life. And that superior direction starts when you will not settle for any less than the best. God gave, in Bible days, God gave some amazing gifts. Have you just went through there and looked at all that was available to these people at this time? Do you ever ask yourself the question, why did God give these amazing gifts? Why did he give speaking in tongues? Why did he give prophecies? Why did he give healings and miracle-working power? Well, if you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, it tells you. Said God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The reason that they had these miraculous gifts was so that people could see that God's stamp of approval was upon these men. It was God's way of bearing witness that these men were his men. You know, that day was not unlike today. There were a lot of preachers, a lot of theories, and a lot of theologies that existed. And you could, you could preach whatever you wanted to preach. People wouldn't necessarily listen. But let me tell you something. When you raise somebody from the dead, people will sit up and take notice. Okay? That's the idea behind many of these spiritual gifts that God had given. And Paul, In the beginning of this chapter, Paul said, though I speak with tongues. Now, it would have helped us a great deal. And we're going to get into more about this next week. But the word tongues literally means language. Okay? There is no such thing as an unknown tongue. And I've had people say, well, Brother Doug, what about unknown tongues? The Bible says unknown tongues. No, it does not. Anywhere you see the word unknown, you'll notice that it's italics. And that means it was added by the translators for clarity. Unfortunately, that particular addition, it just added confusion. Okay? And it would have been so much easier had the translators translated it language, okay? Paul, if you literally read it, you could read it like this, though I speak with languages of men and of even languages of the angels. Now, I want you to grab why God gave the gift of tongues or languages, okay? Back in that day, they did not have the Bible. And you need to hold on to this for next week, because we're going to get into this more next week. But back in that day, they did not have the written word of God. Therefore, the only way to hear from God was by the spoken word. However, there were language barriers. Does it make sense? There were people who spoke all kinds of different languages, and the only way that they could be communicated with was by speaking in their language. Now, you just imagine this, God giving a man the power and sending him to an area and talking to people that was not of his language, and suddenly, miraculously, having not been trained, he just breaks out in their language and begins to teach them the Word of God. That's what tongues were for. Okay, nowhere in the Bible was it mindless babble. Nowhere in the Bible was it just a confusing mess. It was a language, okay? And it was a language given so that people could communicate God's instruction to other people. All right? But you got to admit, wouldn't it be cool to go to Mexico and speak Spanish? Wouldn't it be cool for God to just suddenly place within you the power to speak Russian or Romanian or whatever language was needed at any particular time? Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe it's cooler to me than it is to y'all, but I think that'd just be the wildest thing. All right? Now, I will tell you this. God has, the gift of tongues has been done away with. Okay? And we'll get into that more next week. All right? But it would just be awesome. But Paul says in the beginning here, because tongues was a very popular thing in Paul's day, or languages was a very popular thing in Paul's day. And he says, I could speak the language of all men. And I could speak the languages even of the angels. Now, what language is that? I don't know. I think Paul is just, he's trying to reach out there to the farthest right he can possibly say, and I could have the ultimate gift of language to talk to any creation that God has created in this universe. And he said, but if I have not love, I am what? A sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I am a noise. A useless, worthless noise is what Paul is saying. Then he goes on. Though I prophesy, I have the gift of prophecy. And the idea behind prophecy, once again, they didn't have the written word of God. Why did God give them prophecy? Because they didn't have the Bible. The only way people would hear from God is when God would tell his man a specific direction, and then his man would pass God's message along to the people. That makes sense, right? It's needed. They didn't have the Bible, so that was the way that they taught the people. Were it not for the gift of prophecy and teaching, then people would have never known what God said. They would have never had direction or communication from God. Paul said, listen, what if I knew everything? What if God revealed to me all the mysteries of heaven? Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, this appeals to you if you're a preacher. I mean, what if I knew, if there was just, you ask Brother Doug, because Brother Doug knows. It doesn't matter, you know. What, instead, right now, the way it is you ask Brother Doug, I've got a yes, I've got a no, and I've got an I don't know, and that third one is used a lot. You know? It is. But wouldn't it be so cool to have that gift that Paul says? And once again, he widens it to the widest variety that it could possibly be, to the farthest right that it could possibly be. He said, what if I knew everything? If I knew everything and understood every mystery of the universe, and what if I had faith? The faith that moves mountains. And he's talking about Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, where Jesus tells his apostles, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done in the fig tree, but also you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Is that not cool? I'm telling you, mountain, get out of the way. It's gone. That's faith, brother. That's faith. If you just apply that figuratively to the challenges of life, you know, how many of us, if you want to belittle it like that, I think he's talking literal. But anyway, okay. Can you imagine every time you have a problem in life, you just say, mountain, get out the way, and you have no more problems? But Paul said, as good as that sounds, I could have all faith, all knowledge, but if I don't have love, I'm a meaningless, worthless nobody. Is it starting to hit home yet? Paul said, though I sacrifice, though I give all my possessions to feed the poor. And we're really big on sacrificing and giving, aren't we? You know, every time there's a disaster, it doesn't matter where in the world it is, they come out with ways to give. You can text to a certain number and $10 goes to that cause. Paul said, I could sacrifice and give all my possessions. And even, he said, it could lay down my body to be burned. And there would be no benefit if I don't have love. Is it starting to hit home yet? Are you starting to see the importance? The importance of something that is missing? Now, let's apply that to us today. Like I say, we could be the very best musician that we could possibly be. We could be the best music director, the best orchestra player or orchestra leader, or the best choir member. We could be the absolute greatest, that when our voice, when we sing, that people would just... But if you have not love, you're making a racket. I could be the very best orator, the very best speaker in the nation, in the world. That when I preach, people would just say, wow, what a message, or wow, what a knowledge. But if I have not love, I'm useless, Paul says. I can even sacrifice everything that I have, and when there's a tragedy in the world, I can take my phone out and I can text whatever to that number where it gives 10, 20, 30, 40. I can give all my possessions to the church. I can sacrifice my very life for the cause of Christ. But if I have not love, there's no benefit. Do you get it? Do you get why I said this is the most important message you may hear this year? Because there are so many people that are doing so many things today, and they're doing, you know, things that the world would look at and say, that's good. I go to church. I teach a class. I pastor a church. I lead singing. I sing in the choir. I do all these things in the name of Jesus. Let me ask you this, but do you do it from a heart of love? With the gift of love. You see, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, if you're not, something's missing. I've often heard people say, Brother Doug, something's missing. I just don't understand. And I must admit, there's been times in my life I've thought, something's missing. I just don't understand. And the more I studied this message, the more convicted I became. That most of the times at the different points in my life that I would have said something's missing, it wasn't the church, it wasn't the people, it was the love that I should have as a child of God. And so there was an emptiness inside me that shouldn't have been there. And the thing was, we're the ones that are missing. You know? We're the ones that are missing on the true meaning, on the true satisfaction. Oh, Paul goes on. And he talks about this love that he's trying to share with these people, the importance, the Corinthians. He says, the love. And what I want you to get, first of all, he goes down this list. He said, love is kind. Love suffers long. And it really doesn't read like that, okay? As a matter of fact, it's lost in the translation. It says the love. The love. Not just love, but the love suffers long. The love is kind. The love does not envy. So I want you to understand, it's not just something you produce on your own. It's not even an affection. It's not even a, I kind of like him, you know. I enjoy this, so I do it. That's not what it's talking about. The love that it's talking about is an agape love. Agape, of course, being the Greek word. The devotion, the interest, the concern, the sincere appreciation, the sincere desire, and attraction. It's a special love. It's a love that we would call a God love. That no matter what, that no matter the circumstance and no matter the situation, that there is a God love there in your life. It's the love. The love in action. Now we're gonna show how the love displays itself. It says, the love suffers long. You want to identify the love? Here we go. The love suffers long. It means you're patient. Are you patient? I've heard people say from time to time, Brother Doug, I know I need patience, but I'm afraid to pray for it. I don't blame you. You know, because the Bible says tribulation worketh patience, and God will educate you real quick. Oh, but listen. It goes a little deeper than that. You see, that patience is a sign of God's love. Are you patient with others even when others are difficult? The love is kind. The idea there is that the love that we're talking about is beneficial to others. Again, I ask you, do others benefit from knowing you? Are others better because of the influence you have in their life? That's what this is talking about. The love is kind. The love does not envy. Can you rejoice for others? What about those that you don't, you know, you really don't care for too much, and something happens in their life and they're just blessed overflowing, and you look at it and you say, I'm so happy for you. The love is not jealous. The love does not envy. I'm sorry, repeat that. The love does not parade itself. You know what that is, right? That's boasting. When you do something, do you have to announce it to the world? You're missing the love. I figured out people don't have to know everything you do that's good. They don't have to be told by you all that you've done that's good. The love does not boast. The love is not puffed up, which means arrogant. You think you're just a little bit better than somebody else? The love does not behave rudely. The love does not seek its own. You ever say, what's in it for me? Have you ever come to that point where you say, look at all I've done and look at the appreciation that I get for all that I've done? The love doesn't seek its own. The love thinks no evil, meditating on evil things. Does evil amuse you? I mean, think about it. Does evil amuse you? Are you amused by the immorality of the world? There's love missing. The love does not rejoice in iniquity, it rejoices in truth. The love bears all things. You know what that means literally? That means we'll put up with in our language. And put up with and keep silent about. That's what it means to bear. How many of us bear all things? Ladies, how many of you put up with your husband? Husbands, how many of you put up with your wife and keep silent about it? You know, there's things I've done in relationships, whether it's friends or with my wife, that I've told people, yeah, I'll deal with it, but I want you to know I don't like it. I want you to know if you do it again, I'm going to get you back. I want you to know that I'm not going to be treated this way. No. The There was nothing loving about that. I was missing this gift. Love, the love, bears all things. The love believes all things. You know what that's talking about? It's just faith. It literally, the word is faith in the Greek. And the idea is that no matter what the circumstance, that you hold to your faith in Almighty God. You see, that's what love is. That even though life might not be going the way I think it should go, and even though I may not be having my own way, I can still look at God and say, God, I don't understand this. But I still love you and I still trust you. That's what this is saying. The love displays. The love hopes all things, meaning has confidence in all circumstances. The love endures all things. And I like that. It means stand one's ground. Let me tell you something. You can say all you want to about how you love the Lord, but if you don't stand up for Jesus, there's not much love there. And I say that because, you know, I'll say I love my children. But if you attack my children, guess what? This little old 98-pound, well, I'm used to be a 98-pound weakling. Now I'm a 200-pound weakling. But you attack my children, and this old boy, he's coming. You attack my wife, I'm coming. Why? Because they're my family. And I love them. What about my God? What about my God? Will I take a stand? And I'm not saying, you know, an offensive stand. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just having the courage to stand up and say, I love Jesus in a classroom. Having the courage to stand up and witness to your coworker. Having the courage to show the world that you really do love Christ. You see, the love will stand one's ground. These are all what the love looks like. How do you get it? Well, I go back to the beginning. Paul said, desire it. In the next chapter, chapter 14, he opens that chapter with pursue love. Desire makes a difference. You realize that? Desire makes a difference. I have prayed several times this week, and this message just reminded me, and it's not that I was upset with anybody or anything, but this message reminded me this week how much I need to love and how much I can't fabricate it. Okay? You see, the love is not something that you're going to create within yourself. It's not something that you can do. It's something that God has to do. That's why Paul says it's a spiritual gift. What do? How do you get it? First you desire it, then you pursue it. Get on your knees and pray for it. God, not only do I want to love my wife and family, I want to love my church family. With all my heart. Not that I don't love them now, but Lord, I want this kind of love. This kind of love that no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, they can see your love through me. And Lord, I want to love those people outside the church. It's people that are hard to love. Lord, I want to love the drug addicts. Lord, I want to love the homosexuals. Lord, I want to love those who don't love me. Lord, I want this kind of love. Paul said it's the greatest gift that there is. And you know what? I believe him. I believe him. Because it's love that will change your life and mine. And it's love that'll change the life of the person who feels unloved. And it's love that'll change the life of the sinner who has abandoned all morality and all godliness. That's the kind of love we've got to have as a church. You know what I really like about this love? Is the love guarantee. First line in verse 8, you remember what it said? Love never fails. Never fails. The idea there is that it's appropriate in every situation. Let me ask you this. How many of you ever get mad? Okay, about half of you are lying like a blanket. Oh, man. Have you ever applied love when you're angry? Instead of blowing up at somebody, have you traded blowing up at them for showing them love? You see, you get angry and you show your temper and you tell them off. That'll fail. That'll crash around you. And, you know, one of two things will happen. Either you'll tell them off and they'll feel bad and you'll just, you know, and then you walk away. Well, I feel bad. And you failed. Or you'll tell them off and then you'll fire them up and they'll get fired up to get back at you. And then the war's on. But you love them. You love them. What are they going to do with that? You see, it works. Instead of speaking your mind, speak the love of God. Love, and grab this. This is the Word of God. Do you believe that God never fails? Do you believe that if it's written in the Word of God, it's always true? Love never fails. Love never fails. I use this verse in several weddings that I've preached from time to time, and I point that out. I point out that love never fails, but people fail love. That's the failure. You want to be a successful Christian. You want to be a Spirit-filled Christian. You want to see your life changed like you've never been changed before. Pursue love. Seek love. Don't settle for anything less than the love. Okay? Because I am convinced that is the secret, that is the key to joy and satisfaction as a child of God. And you know what? The love has been displayed for an example for all the world to see. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God displayed the love to all of mankind. He displayed it for all the world to see. So that He gave His only Son, because you've sinned and you've sinned and you've sinned and you've sinned and I've sinned and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, even when we weren't worth it, God said, I'm going to show them what love is. I'm going to allow my Son Jesus to go to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of all of mankind. Oh, now let me tell you something. That's love. When you think of giving your child for these sinner people over here, would you be ready to do that? Well, no, we kind of like these people over here, but I just don't know if you're worth my children. God said, He looked at all of us, and He said, y'all are worth my Son. He said, I love you. Question is, have you ever experienced the love of God? Today, if you've never experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You want to live forever? There's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. You're a prayer away from salvation. A prayer away by simply confessing to God, your sinner, and asking Jesus to save you, receiving Him as your one and only source of salvation. Are you a child of God? Have you experienced the love today? Maybe you're here today and you've experienced salvation, but you just hadn't had the love. And you know something's missing. Things just hadn't been right and you just can't figure it out. Here's the flag. Things aren't right if you don't have the love. And it's a gift that God gives. Where are you with that? Is that the desire of your heart? We all need it. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm just going to ask you this one thing. I'm going to ask you to please do business with God. Wherever He leads you, however He directs you. If you need to be saved, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Let me show you in God's Word how to be saved. If you need to love more, come to the altar and ask for it. And then get up and look for the opportunities to love. Okay? If it ends at the altar, you've not done anything. You go to the altar, ask for it, then get up and ask and watch the opportunities that God sets before you. Heavenly Father, thank You for the day. Thank You, Lord, for this instruction from Your Word. Oh, goodness, Lord. We need Your love to saturate our lives. We need You, oh God. And that gift of love so that we may serve You and share that love with others. Lord, I pray for the gift of love today. And I pray that You'll give that gift to all who ask in this service today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.